Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here today. We've made it to the week of Christmas, so it's been a crazy year, but it just seems like it's also flying by at the same time, and we're happy that we get this chance to be together this morning to worship together. I'm going to go over a couple of announcements as we get started today. One, tonight for classes, we will still have our adult class that meets here in the auditorium, but we will not have the family Bible class or the teen Bible class tonight due to the holidays. But 5 p.m. tonight, we will have the adult class here in the auditorium. Next Sunday, December the 27th, we will not have any evening services or classes, so we know that's going to be kind of that point between Christmas and New Year's where a lot of people may be gone or have other activities going on, so no activities on Sunday evening next week. And then in 2 weeks, on Sunday, January 3rd, we will not have classes, but we will have a combined family devotional time here together. It'll be our next chance that we present some of our family Bible class videos that they've been working on. So we'd love for you guys to be here on Sunday, January 3rd, that evening at 5 p.m. I have a note I want to share with you guys in regards to this past Wednesday night. Dear Graham Street family, we want to say thank you again for all of you who helped in any way with the community Christmas dinner this year. The format may have been different due to COVID, but the need was still great. We served almost 1,100 meals and couldn't have done it without our teams of volunteers. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus in Christian love, Lee and Deborah. If you got to be a part of that, or if you even just got to hear about it, it was pretty amazing what was going on. Just by the first hour that we were handing out meals and delivering meals, we'd already delivered more than we did entirely last year. So we had a little bit of a panic moment. Gail helped us out. We had to go do some last-minute shopping, and we were able to continue providing meals into the evening, but almost 1,100 meals, over 300 that were delivered. So you guys really stepped up, and we really appreciate that, and we're grateful for the ways you reach out to this community to show your love. As we get started this morning, we're going to continue our series on the journey to Christmas, and today we're going to focus on the journey of the shepherds. And to get our thoughts kind of prepared with this, I want to lead us in a prayer, and during that prayer, I'm going to read the words of a psalm that most of us are pretty familiar with in our lives, Psalm 23, that talks about the shepherd. And so it'll be a great way for us to get things focused this morning as we start our worship together. Let's pray. Father, as we're gathered here now, we know that you are here with us. Father, we're so grateful for the love that you have for us, for the things that you do for us, Father, that sometimes we don't even stop to acknowledge. Father, we are so grateful for the love that you show to us in so many small ways. And Father, we're so grateful for the powerful example of love that you sent in your Son. This morning, as we have the chance to focus more on this journey of so many to your Son arriving in this world. Father, this morning we pray these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And God, we are so thankful that you have given us that ability to dwell with you. Father, be with us this morning as we worship. Open up our hearts and our mouths to you. May we make a joyful noise as we celebrate this time of year, as we celebrate your Son. This is our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. These songs right here should be familiar. 'Tis the season, so please sing right out. Sing right out. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all
Virgin, Mother and Child, Holy Infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
If it's convenient for you, would you please stand for these next two songs? And keep singing right out.
the first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds all were watching while seated on the ground. A light from heaven descended and glory shone around. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. This light shone in the heavens to cover all the earth. It was a sign to tell men about our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship the holy child that day. They found him in a manger, sleeping on the hay. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I said, now go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. And Merry Christmas. It's good to be together. We're glad that we can have this opportunity to be together. Well, I know a lot of families are making journeys or getting together with families. The kids are out of school. The Tarleton students are gone. So a lot of people gone. But I'm so glad that you're here and glad we can be together. Some of you have asked me about Vicki and her not being with me this morning. She's doing okay. I don't want to frighten anyone, but she had a little accident last night. We had the grandkids and our kids over from Fort Worth, and we decided to go through the walkthrough at the park, see all the Christmas lights and everything. And she tripped and fell and banged herself up pretty good. So she's staying home today and recovering, and hopefully no broken bones. We'll check on that later if we need to. She's got some bruises, though, and not walking very well this morning. So I said, you just stay put, and I'll keep you posted on how she's doing. But thanks for asking. I know she's always by my side, and she'll appreciate the fact that you were asking about her. I am just so proud of you guys. I know we already said thank you about helping out with community Christmas dinner, and that's amazing, you know, to be able to distribute 1,100 meals to people. by drive-through or by delivery. It's just awesome. There were so many people involved in helping do that. Thank you so much for the prep work that you did in getting the meal ready. Some of you are old hands at that. You've done that for a long time. You know, like Bob Doty, you know, up to his elbows in the dressing, you know. I mean, he knows how to do that. But some of you are trying it for the first time this year to be involved in that. Thank you for volunteering. And then a lot of people involved in being here in the serving lines and working on traffic control, which, by the way, there were some needs for traffic control when you've got that many people trying to do a drive-through to distribute that many meals. We had people that were running like Gail did, running to, when we ran out of certain things, had to go and get some more to get food because we ran out. I mean, that's all of it is part of it. But there's that on Wednesday. And then Thursday morning, we had our usual basic needs food distribution to our clients where we give them groceries. And we had more than usual this Thursday. We had a lot of new people and some of the people that haven't been coming as regular. They showed up. I think it shows that there is a really need for us to continue this ministry of distributing food because there are people who are really hurting right now. And then that evening, we had our community-wide grocery distribution through the community pantry, where several of the different groups that work in the food distribution come together, and we served over 400 families Thursday night, and it was hectic, you know, and that's where we actually give groceries out, not just meals, and all of that you have supported, you've been a part of it. I know it's been discouraging times, but you've continued to encourage people in our community by meeting those needs, and you're to be commended for that. And I appreciate that. And then a lot of you are involved in helping in other ways that are not as public. And I just want you to know that you're doing a great thing. You're blessing many people. And we need to keep it up, you know. I mean, it's great that we remember it at Christmas time, but, you know, let's keep it up because even though we've got hope, there's light at the end of the tunnel, there's things that are saying, man, this is going to improve, but we're still in a tough time, and we need to keep helping people in our community. And don't give up on that. Don't think that because the holiday season is over. Let's remember that, you know, some of the kids, they depend on being able to go to school and getting a meal during this period of time when they're back home. They may not have the food that they need. So let's keep it up and serve their needs. So with that in mind, would you bow with me and let's go to God in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have been so good to us. So many of us have been blessed beyond all measure, and we're being called upon to share what we have, and we're more than willing to do that. But, Father, sometimes it becomes challenging for those of our number who don't have much, and they need to be served, and yet they want to serve others. Thank you for the spirit of giving in this church. There are so many people in our community who have been touched by the giving and service-like minds of the people of this church. Father, I want to ask your blessing upon all of us as we continue to try to be your church and be what we're supposed to be in our community and with each other. We ask, Father, a blessing upon those of our number who are struggling, those who are dealing with illness or dealing with the passing of loved ones, those who are dealing with anxiety, those who have lost jobs, those who have lost or reduced their income, those who have challenges with putting food on the table each week, those who find themselves in constant need. We ask, Father, for a blessing. And we reach out beyond that, and we ask, Father, for your blessing on our missionaries who are serving in countries like in Zimbabwe or in Mexico, where we're supporting missionaries. And we know, particularly in Zimbabwe right now, that the government is not able to meet the needs of help that is there by so many starving people. And the churches are being called upon to serve those needs, and we're glad of that. It'll spread the gospel. But, Father, our missionaries need our help and our support. And we're so grateful that we were able to send the opportunity for them to buy food there. But, Father, we know that the need continues, and we ask for their safety and for their service. this morning as we think about the birth of Jesus and we think about his success in this world by fighting sin and being a part of that warfare with Satan and being victorious over death and sin, raising from that grave and reigning now as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, we want to thank you. We personally want to be involved in saying glory and praise and honor to you for all that you've done for us. And as we focus on the shepherds who came to that first bed of baby Jesus, we want to be those shepherds who seek for Jesus in our lives now. And as we talk about Jesus being the Lamb of God and the Good Shepherd, we pray that we'll remember that he reigns in our lives as we submit to his will. And we pray this in his name, Jesus our Savior. Amen. Let's begin this morning in Luke chapter 2. And you may want to follow in your Bibles as I read this. This is often referred to as the Christmas story. We're going to focus on the shepherds this morning, but this is a bigger story than just any one group of people, and it includes us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from a town in Nazareth, to Judea, to a city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told unto them. In this story, there is an emphasis on David. And we've already seen this. For example, when we looked at the journey of Mary, we saw that Mary was told, when she was being told that she was going to have a son, even though she was a virgin, it was explained to her that the child that she was going to bear was a descendant of David. And not only was he a descendant of David, but he would sit on David's throne and he would reign forever. Also, when Elizabeth was talking with Mary about what was going to happen and all of this fulfillment of prophecy, it's emphasized to Elizabeth about this connection back to David. And then Zacharias, who is the father of John the Baptist, as we call him, in praising God for the child, he mentions that the child that is going to be introduced into the world by his son John is going to be the Messiah, and he has a connection back to David, and he will sit on David's throne. Even remember when Joseph, you know, when he was thinking about divorcing Mary and saying, you know, that I've got to deal with this because, you know, the person I'm engaged to marry is with child. I have to hide her away, you know, this sort of thing. The angel revealed to Joseph that the child that she was going to bear was not only the Son of God, but that he was a descendant of David. So this connection with David is a very important part of the story. And so when you read this story in Luke chapter 2, you have this emphasis on why they went to Bethlehem. Because of the connection to David. That it was prophesied that it would be in Bethlehem. And that connection of David is made here. That he is a descendant of the lineage of David. And that he would sit on David's throne. That he would be a king like David. The Messiah would be connected in that way. So that's an important part of this story. When you think about that and you realize the prophecies over and over emphasize this connection to David. For example, when we talked about this a little bit last week, 2 Samuel chapter 7, David is going to build a house for God. He's basically embarrassed. He's ashamed that he has a nice house, but God is still living in a tent. You know, that's thought of the presence of God is in the tabernacle. And David says, I'm going to build God a house, a great house, a temple for God to live in. And God, you know, tells Nathan, after Nathan has told him, well, go ahead and do your plan. That's a good plan, you know. God tells Nathan, the prophet, go tell David, no, you're not going to build my house. When have I ever asked you to build me a house? In all this time, as I took you as a shepherd out in the field and made you king, when did I ever tell you to build me a house? You will not build a house for me. Your son, talking about Solomon, will build me a house. But I'm going to build you a house, David. And your house is going to come from one of your descendants that will sit on your throne, and his kingdom will never come to an end. So there's that prophecy about how David is going to see the king come someday that will have a kingdom that will never end, and he will forever sit on that throne. And so the prophecy about this connection to David is very important. In fact, in the first sermon that was preached, the gospel message after Jesus ascended back to be with his Father, in that sermon was very much focused by the preaching of Peter on the connection to David. It was important to his Jewish audience for them to understand that the prophecies about the connection between the Messiah and David is there, and Jesus fulfills all of those prophecies. In fact, he calls David a prophet in saying that David, in talking about someone that would be one of his descendants that would die, but his body would not see decay, but that he would be raised to life, Peter says David was talking about Jesus of Nazareth that you crucified. And God has made him both Lord and Christ, Messiah. And so that connection is so important. And when you realize that what basically Jesus represented was an extension of what was represented by King David. And King David was a shepherd boy who became king. And in many ways, there's a similarity between here's Jesus born in a feed trough, basically. And he comes from that into being our king and our savior, our Lord. It seems appropriate when you think about this that the one who wrote the psalm about the good shepherd that Wes read to us in his prayer this morning, when you think about that and the connection between Jesus being a descendant of David, it makes sense that shepherds would be the ones who would be called upon not only to be witnesses of Jesus in that manger, but that Jesus would also be one that they would go tell the story about as the shepherd spread from that manger. The manger is probably not like we picture it in the photographs that we send in our Christmas cards or in the little manger scenes that we set up, nativity scenes. It probably was not even a feed trough like we think of it now. It probably was actually like in a cave. And it was a hewn out place or a hollow place in stone. And the sheep, for example, would go and eat in that place, and they would sleep and be safe and guarded by the shepherd in that place. And we don't know. We're just basing that on what we know historically of the situation. But it makes sense that shepherds were a part of the first audience of Jesus, the baby Jesus. Because it carries on not only this connection to his humble beginnings, but it makes a connection between David and Jesus, the shepherds. And in fact, Jesus calls himself a good shepherd. In John 10, he says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They hear my voice, and they recognize my voice, and they follow me. And I am a good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. God has called me to lay down my life for my sheep. And no one can keep me from doing that because I have been called to do that. And I will take my life and bring it to life again because he has called me to do that. And my life will be given back to me again." And the idea of being the good shepherd that takes care of the sheep is a fulfillment back to Micah chapter 5. What Jesus is basically referring to in John chapter 10 is coming out of the prophecies about the Messiah is going to be one who will come and shepherd his people. That the people will be the sheep and he will be the shepherd. So again, there is this connection to prophecy. But there's also this idea that he is a lamb. And before Jesus could shepherd his people, really be the shepherd of his people all over the world, he had to also be the Lamb of God. Now, John refers to this, John the Baptist, as we call him. He refers to this. Now, remember, John is prophesying the coming of one who is greater than him. He says, "Even though I have come before him, he was before me," talking about Jesus being eternal. He says, "He's been before me, and he is greater than I am. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and lace up his sandals," so to speak. And he says, "This is the one that has been promised to come into the world. He will be the Redeemer. He will be the Savior." And then when he announces seeing Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, this connection obviously goes back to the Old Testament. The idea of the Passover. We have, remember when the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage and they were told to take a lamb and put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost. And then when death passed through, when that final plague that came upon Egypt came in, that those who did not have the blood of the lamb on the door, there would be death in that household. But to the ones that put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, it would pass over them and they would not have to face that death. And of course, you know, that journey began from there of their being freed and heading to the promised land. But the idea of being this Passover lamb is said to be Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 calls Jesus our Passover lamb. And so the idea of John saying when he sees Jesus, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, that he is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover Lamb. Is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53. Where Isaiah the prophet said that the Messiah would be one who would come as the servant of God. And he would bear the iniquities of us all. He would be like a lamb before his shears is dumb and would not speak a word. He would be innocent and without guilt, and yet he would suffer for our sins. He would bear our sins by his death. And so in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover Lamb. You remember the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac. And we've referred to this before in our Christmas journey. Remember that Abraham is commanded to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice. And God is testing Abraham's faith. Will he obey that? And Abraham had great faith. He believed that even if he had to offer his son as a sacrifice, somehow God would keep his promise that all nations would be blessed because he was promised this son. And God would do something in some way through this son and fulfill his promise. He thought, we find from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that Abraham even believed that if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead and fulfill his promise. So Abraham draws back the knife and is ready to kill his son, and he's stopped. Now, as they're journeying to go to the sacrifice, remember the story? Isaac is helping his dad carry wood, fire. They're getting ready to go do a sacrifice. He's not been told that he's going to be the sacrifice. And he asked his dad, he said, "Yo, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" Now, Abraham didn't answer, "Well, your son, you're the sacrifice." Abraham answered, he said, "God will provide. God will provide the lamb that we need for the sacrifice." Well, sure enough, as Abraham is about to kill his son, he is stopped from doing that. And God speaks to him and said that he knows that Abraham believes and has expressed his faith by being obedient. And God repeats his blessing to Abraham and spares his son. And in the thicket there where they are, there is a ram that's caught in the thicket. A lamb of God, if you will, that God has furnished. In fact, Abraham calls the place where they're offering the sacrifice in Hebrew, "God will provide." What Abraham doesn't realize is that later, these words that he spoke to his son Isaac, and later the words that he used to name the place where the altar was located, would be used in talking about God providing our sacrifice. God providing our lamb for the sacrifice needed for our sins. And that would be Jesus. Jesus would be that Lamb of God. Now think about this now. Jesus is going to be a shepherd king like David. Jesus is going to be the Lamb of God. And shepherds are called by God, by angels, to go and visit the baby Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't it somehow seem to be in this beautiful picture, this story that God is creating for us to see how he works, not just in this moment of the birth of Jesus, but in putting all the pieces together from the beginning of time all the way through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. God is telling this wonderful story, and in trying to tell this story to the world, he begins by letting shepherds be the ones who tell the story to others. And so they go back. They don't go back immediately to looking after their sheep, you know, in the quiet of the night. They go back and they find anybody they can tell about what God is doing in this child. Now I want to turn your attention to the book of Revelation, because it is my belief that this story continues in the book of Revelation. And this often doesn't get the attention it needs to have, because frankly, there's a lot of people who do not read Revelation because they can't understand it, or they're frightened by it. They get caught up in the symbols and the way it's written, and it kind of scares them, and they just don't want to deal with it. But the story of the Lamb is told in the book of Revelation, and it is a beautiful, beautiful story of victory. And I think you need to hear this story, and I'm going to read quite a bit of it this morning. And follow with me in your Bibles if you'd like, and maybe later you want to read this again and just think about some of what this is saying. But I want to give you a snapshot of the book of Revelation by looking at the story of the Lamb. And I want you to think about the fact that we also are called upon, like the shepherds, to share the story of the Lamb of God. Let's begin in Revelation chapter 5, and let me set it up for you just a little bit. Chapter 4 has told about the throne of God. And in very descriptive language, it tells us of what it would look like to see the throne of God and God seated on the throne. And the Father God is sitting there on the throne, and he has a scroll in his hand. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David," that's Jesus, "has conquered so that he can open the scroll and the seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing," still talking about Jesus, "as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed the people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' And then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all of that is in it saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Now turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. "And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Now I want you to notice this next paragraph. It's really important that we see this. We're talking about the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ, our Savior. But notice he becomes the shepherd. Verse 15, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor its scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Now chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 14. The enemy, talking about Satan and all those who join him, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him are called the chosen and faithful. Now go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. And then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire, and his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lamb of God becomes the shepherd, becomes the king, becomes the Lord of Lords. The shepherds went to see the Lamb of God. They didn't understand it, but they went to see the one that will be sacrificed as our Savior. They went to see the Good Shepherd. They knew about shepherding. They probably knew the 23rd Psalm. They probably could say it by heart. What they didn't realize is the Good Shepherd lay in that little bed of hay. The shepherds went to see the king. They were told he was a king like David, that this king had been prophesied to come of the lineage of David, but they probably didn't understand that this king would be the king of all kings. He would be king over all kings of all nations ever to be, and that he would be the Son of God, God himself in the flesh, the only one worthy to wear the name, the personal name of the Lord God himself. That's what they went to see. When we take communion, we're remembering not just the cross. We're remembering the Lamb of God. We're not just remembering that he was in flesh and then his body suffered for us. He's the Lamb of God. And that his blood was shed for us because he was the good shepherd that would die for his sheep. That's what we're remembering when we take the Lord's Supper. We're not just remembering that he was a king. He is the king. He is the King of kings. And he's calling on us to let him rule in our lives. When we eat of that bread and we drink of that cup, we're saying that we submit to the kingship of Jesus. We're acknowledging that Jesus was not just a human being who died for us. He was the Son of God. And we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, Lord of Lords, because that's what God made him. And we serve him because God has made him Lord until he comes again. Brothers and sisters, when you take communion today, you're called to be like the shepherds, to be a witness, to tell others what you observed. The shepherds went to probably a cave, to maybe a lean-to, a place where in a manger lay a little baby. And they went and they told the story of what they saw. You're called to eat a little bit of bread and to drink a little bit of juice. And you're called to go out from here and share the message of what that represents. The Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the Good Shepherd, the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Lord. I ask you this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus that can allow you to really think that way when you take communion, that you let us help you. You really can't take communion and understand that unless you're living it on a daily basis in your life. Understanding that relationship with Jesus Monday through Saturday makes what you do on Sunday really make sense. And if it doesn't, let us help you. That's why we're here. That's what we've been called to do. We're like the shepherds. And you're being called to be a sheep of God. We'd like to help you. Let's sing, Quincy.
But you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
As we come together on this first day of the week, we think toward the end of the week, lots of people from around the world will be celebrating the birth of our Savior and what he represented. We get together every Sunday to remember to celebrate the other thing he did for us, which was to die on the cross and give us a chance for the home of salvation with him and God. So let's go to prayer as we get ready for the Lord's Supper. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. as we look to this bread, we remember the body of Jesus on the cross being slain for our sins. Help us to remember that and to partake of this bread in a manner be pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In a similar manner, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking for the resurrection of Jesus and thank you for the blood he shed on the cross to remove our sins. Help us to remember that we are continually blessed and cleansed of our sins as we continue to worship you every day, every hour. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this fruit of the vine that represents that blood that was shed. Help us to partake of it and pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If it's convenient for you, would you please be standing as we close with our final two songs this morning? Sing right out.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Please be seated.
Thank you for being here this morning. It's a blessing to be together. That's one thing this virus has taught me, is to be more appreciative of my family, of my church family, and of my physical family too. So thank you for being here. And we pray that as you meet with family in coming days, that you'll cherish your family more too. A quote for you: it is not after we were reconciled by the blood of his Son that God began to love us, but before the foundation of the world. Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, it's hard for us to comprehend the love that you have for us, that you had a plan before time even began. We're thankful for your love for us. We're thankful for Jesus' love for us. We're thankful for his willingness to come and to be that sacrifice, to be the sacrificial lamb. We're thankful that he was willing to also be the good shepherd, to teach us to follow you and to serve you. We're most thankful, though, that he reigns on high, that he is King of Kings and that he is Lord of Lords. And we're thankful that we are allowed to be a part of that kingdom. Help us to seek you each day. Help us to serve you better in the coming days. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask for you to watch over us, protect us from the evil one. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you again for being here with us this morning. We hope everybody has a wonderful week as you get to celebrate with your families together. Don't forget, tonight at 5 p.m., we will have our adult class still here in the auditorium. I want to say thank you again to Quincy this morning for leading us in song. I know a lot of the songs we sang, we kind of feel like we call them Christmas songs, but they're just wonderful hymns that we get to sing together. So as we go out into the world this week, be those shepherds, be the witness that's there to spread the good news, to proclaim what we know to be true, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We'll have a song playing as we're dismissed. Have a great week.